Welcome to Calvary. This morning we're going to enjoy the help that God has sent to us through the ministry of His Holy Spirit. As we reflect upon what God has done, He sent help for us. He sent help to us in the person of the Holy Spirit of God, who has come into the world and come into the heart of every follower of Jesus. And He has become in our lives the permanent presence of God, located within the sphere of our life and the depths of our soul. When we come to faith in Christ, the Spirit of God comes to take up residence within us. The permanent presence of God is ours since the Holy Spirit of God came to live within our heart when we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. When the disciples were hearing Christ for the last time prior to His death, He said, "I'm going to send you help." And this help is going to be the Holy Spirit. This morning we're going to look at that way in which the Holy Spirit comes to bring ministry to our lives, to reveal to us Himself and the truth of God in a series called The Ongoing Guidance into Truth, which is part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives to continue to guide us into the truth of God. If you have a Bible, I want you to open with me, if you will, to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14, you'll find it on page 85 in the Bible that you picked up on the way in at the back of the auditorium, or here in Boulder. They're located in the seat in front of you, and it's the blue one. Page 85, which is the second 85 in the Bible you have there, because our Bible is broken down into two sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we're in the New Testament, page 85. And there, on page 85 in chapter 14, verse 21 of the Gospel of John, we read this: "He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will disclose myself to him." There's a bit of a mathematical formula in this verse that helps to build the platform for why the Spirit of God has His ministry in our life to teach us into the truth of God. It goes like this: loving Jesus equals having His commands plus keeping His commands. So knowing the commands of Jesus plus doing them equals loving Jesus. And you could do a self-analysis as how much do I love Jesus? Well, you can tell by whether or not you know His commands and whether or not you keep His commands. Because Jesus said, "He who has my commands and keeps them, he it is who loves me." All this underscores a very important principle that is sort of the foundation for today's message. And that is that obedience to what you know about Jesus is the key to learning more. In other words, to grow deeper in your spiritual life with God is somewhat dependent upon your obedience to what God has already taught you in His Word. A friend of mine who pastors a church in California by the name of Larry Osborne has just written a book. It's called A Contrarian's Guide to Knowing God, Spirituality for the Rest of Us. And he makes this analogy of a dimmer switch. We have a dimmer switch in this room, and in the auditorium in Erie, there's a dimmer switch that brings the lights down. You probably have some in your house, and you can turn down the lights in a place. My friend Larry describes a spiritual principle of the dimmer switch, which is associated with this principle we're talking about, that obedience to the truth we know is crucial for learning more. And in fact, the opposite happens, that when we venture into a season of disobedience to the truth we know, what happens is the dimmer switch goes into effect and the lights go low. He puts it this way: why do spiritual insights seem to suddenly come in spurts and sometimes diminish? Why does the spigot of God's leading suddenly run dry? Why do some people who once professed great spiritual insights regress into a life of mind-boggling folly? Can you think of someone who used to walk with the Lord and then suddenly gets completely disoriented and loses their way? Because when we respond to the light that we have, God gives more light. And it's as if the light gets brighter. And when we don't, He takes away the light we already have. Listen to this proverb, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. The path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. But the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. But the way of the righteous shines brighter and brighter. In a sort of the backwards way, Romans chapter 1 describes a group of people who reject God and what they know about God, and God closes down the light on them. The language there is that God gives them over. All underscoring this principle, that obedience to what we know is the pathway to a greater knowledge of God. And it is the role of the Holy Spirit to help us know these things about God and to give us the power to walk in obedience to them so that we are guided into knowing the truth, and then with His help and our resolutions, we obey what we know and the light becomes greater and we walk into greater truth of God. This is what Jesus promised would be the help that He would take and give to His disciples and that He would give to us as well. Remember last week we talked about the Holy Spirit taking a ministry and taking the things of Christ and showing them to His followers, showing them to us. You look at chapter 14 again at verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, what will he do?" All right, say it a little bit louder. I can't hear you in Erie. He will do what? Okay, he will obey my commands. He will keep my words. There's a variety of translations there. But if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our abode with him. We will settle in and live in his life. Live in her life. Why? Because loving Jesus equals knowing the commands, knowing the things about Christ, and following them. And when that happens, a greater awareness of God in our life, a greater knowledge of Him, and a greater life of obedience and His presence in our life. The abiding presence of His Spirit in us and His work is tied a bit to our obedience to His commands. The validation of our love for Jesus is obedience to what He said. Get that? The validation of our love for Christ is obedience to what He has said, and the role of the Spirit is to help us know these things. Now, I think there's a rhythm to life that all of us have experienced, that we learn something, we walk in obedience to it. And from time to time, we regress, and we fail to live up to what we know to be true. It happens quickly, it happens easily, it happens for me, it happens for you, and we have to be reminded, no, this is what I've learned and I want to walk in it. And there's a rhythm of walking with God, of living up to what we know, and we learn more. And the more we know, the more we have to live up to. And so one might say, well, maybe we shouldn't learn anymore because we can't live up to what we already know. And that would be the easy way out, but that's not the way of the Spirit. The Spirit is to lead us into a deeper life in Christ and then continue to live up to what we have learned. And when we do, the door opens up and we are led into deeper truth about Him. Now, the key verse for this morning's passage is in John chapter 14, verse 26. Verse 25, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name." Remember, this is the Helper. We described Him as the Advocate, the one who's going to come alongside to help. "When He comes, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." The ministry of the Spirit of God in the life of the believer is the ongoing guidance into the truth of God so that we may know God and then obey what we know, which opens up a greater window to knowing more that we might walk with Him more. When the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to guide you into truth and bring to remembrance all that I said to you. Because you are going to forget. You're going to forget what you learned last week. You're going to forget what you learned a year ago. Every once in a while, someone will come to me. In fact, it happened last week. Somebody said on Friday night, I was with a group of guys. And in front of 18 guys who were talking about what we were reading, somebody said, "Tom, do you remember the message you preached on the will of God?" Now, at that moment, I just waited. Because I couldn't remember what I preached on the will of God. I said, "Well, when was it?" He said, "It was about a year and a half ago." I said, "This is great. Somebody remembers what I preached a year and a half ago. That rarely happens." I can't even remember what I preached a year and a half ago without going back and looking at it. But the role of the Spirit is to help us remember what we've learned and then to give us the help to live up to it. This is a key verse, verse 26. There's a similar parallel verse in chapter 16, verse 13, and we need to just read that and then we'll make some comments. Verse 13 of chapter 16. "I have many more things to say to you now," verse 12 says, "but you cannot bear them now. Your hearts are full, your minds are full, you're not sure what's going to happen tomorrow night. I can't tell you any more now," Jesus told his disciples. "But when He, the Spirit of truth," this is the second time that He's referred to as the Spirit of truth, "comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak and He will disclose to you what is to come." And then here's our verse about the focus of the Spirit's ministry. "He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine and disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said that He takes of Mine and disclose it to you." We're reminded that the ministry of the Spirit is to help us know and glorify Christ and know that He's worthy. And it's better that Christ has gone to the cross. The Spirit now has come to help us appreciate and know Christ. And He's going to come and take everything that we need to know about Jesus and guide us into the truth about Christ, about His words, about His life, about His purposes, and how they become a reality to the way we live. In other words, how does what I know about Jesus impact my life tomorrow morning when I go to work? That's the role of the Spirit, to guide us into this truth and say, you know, have you been thinking about how you could apply what you learned about Jesus to the way you relate to your son? I want you to consider the work of Jesus on the cross whereby He laid down His life for you and why that matters for you as a husband in the way you love your wife. How does God help us understand these core principles of the redemptive work of Jesus and His teaching and then make them make sense for the way we live our life and go to the store and drive in the car and relate to one another? It's the work of the Spirit in us to guide us into truth. Say, "Oh, you probably shouldn't say that. Oh, why did you say that? Oh, you need to go speak to that person." I was driving into church this morning, and when I drove up the road, there was someone lying on the side of the road. And I drove by, and I got almost all the way to the entrance of the church, and I thought, I should go back and talk to that person. Why is he lying on the side of the road? "No, he'll be fine. I'm sure he's resting." He was by the path and drove on a little bit further, and thought, "Now, I need to go make sure he's okay." I turned my car around and drove back and said, "Bro, are you all right?" Nothing. "Bro, are you all right?" I woke him up. I disturbed him. But I thought in the moment, I better go do that. And I don't know if it was a prompting of God or my conscience or what, but he went soundly back to sleep as soon as I turned around and came back to church. The Lord prompts us sometimes in things that we do, and and sometimes they're life-changing, sometimes they're not. But walking in the Spirit is being sensitive to God at work in me and seeing that the Spirit of God is in us to take the truths that we know about Jesus and apply them to our life in all the ways that we live and relate and live out our life. Now, when the Spirit comes, He will guide you into truth, help you to know truth. And we describe truth as being the words of Christ, the Word of God. And I have this very sad concern, a serious concern. And that is that the church, a church very much like ours, has the tremendous danger of growing up knowing much truth, knowing the knowledge of God, knowing lots of facts about this book, but perhaps not living up to it in a life of obedience. The danger of the church is that it may be filled with many who have great knowledge, but sadly not enough humble obedience to the truth they know. And so what ends up happening is the dimmer switch begins to shut down. And we sit there and say, you know, this is boring. How come it's not like it used to be? You know, it's possible to be very strong in knowledge, but to be very anemic in the inner life of the Spirit, right? It's possible to be filled with truth, but to be anemic or weak in the way we live in step with God's Spirit guiding us. What we need to be sensitive to is the reality that the Christ has saved us and the Spirit lives in us and He wants to guide us into the application of His truth in every part of our life, because greater obedience leads to greater light. Now, I want to begin by telling you two things that the Spirit absolutely teaches us. But the Spirit teaches us. Because if the Spirit guides us into all truth, and there are some who say these two verses that I've just read from chapter 14 and chapter 16 about the Spirit guiding were simply spoken to the followers of Jesus at that time. And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, just to those apostles, but not necessarily to us. I don't hold that. I think that this is the ministry of the Spirit to them and to us, to guide us into the truth of God. And I want to show you at least two things that the Spirit always works in our life to teach us. For this, I want you to turn in your Bible to 1 John chapter 2. That's right in your Bible, all the way to page 185. 1 John chapter 2. Let me show you two things that the Spirit teaches. Number one, that Jesus is who He says He is. Why did you become convinced that Jesus is who He says He is? Why do you have in the depths of your soul, and I would say, why do some of you have this deep-seated conviction that Jesus is who He says He is? Well, according to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, John is writing to a group of followers of Jesus, and he says to them, "You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it." You know the truth. "And because no lie is of the truth." Who's a liar? The one who denies that Jesus is the Christ. And he mentions here that there are many antichrists who have gone out into the world who deny the deity of Jesus, deny the reality of Jesus, but you are not among them. You are not among those who deny the reality and the deity of Jesus Christ. Why is that true of you? It's true of you because, verse 27, "As for you, the anointing which you received from Him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, just as He has taught you, you abide in Him." In other words, there are some, John is saying, who used to be with us, but they went out from us because they denied the reality of who Jesus is. But you have an anointing from the abiding presence of him who lives in you, that Jesus is who he says he is, the Son of God, fully man. And God taught you that. Why? It is the resident work of the Spirit of God to take of Jesus and make it known to you. You say, why do I know that Jesus really was born of a virgin, that he is the Son of God, that he did not sin? Every once in a while you say, well, gee, that's not what I hear in the world. I mean, very few people believe that Jesus is the Son of God. There are books being read today about how damaging faith in Jesus is to the world. Okay? But deep in your soul, you have an inner conviction that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. Where does that come from? It comes from the work of the Spirit in you to confirm in your heart that Jesus is who he says he is. That's one of the ministries of the Spirit, of guiding you into truth, that you know more about Jesus, that he is the Son of God. The second thing that the Spirit of God teaches us is found, at least that we're going to look at this morning, is found in Romans chapter 8. I invite you to turn there, Romans chapter 8, and that's on page 124 in the Bible that you have. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Not only does the Spirit teach us that Jesus is who he says he is, but the Spirit of God in our hearts teaches us that through faith in Jesus, we have become children of God, that we are his children, that we belong to him. And one of the ministries of the Spirit in leading us into the deeper knowledge of Christ is, if you will, a spiritual or a subjective confirmation in our soul that we belong to God. This is the way Paul puts it in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. These are the children of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. This is the key verse 16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. One of the ministries of the Spirit is to confirm in our heart that we have become children of God. Not by works, not by our good behavior, not by anything of ourselves, but by the work of Jesus in our hearts to forgive us, to cleanse us, to renew us. The Spirit testifies to our hearts that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Not only that we are his children, but we are co-heirs with Christ. The richness of that language is that the ministry of the Spirit is to confirm in us we belong to him. Now, you know what will unsettle our conviction that we are children of God? Disobedience. Disobedience. The light goes down. Because loving Jesus equals having his commandments and keeping them. And as we walk in the Spirit, the ministry of the Spirit is to open our hearts to the truth of Jesus, that we would know he is who he says he is, and that we belong to him. And that ministry of the Spirit to us is guiding us into this beautiful truth. There are many other things that the Spirit does, and we won't have time in this brief series to look at all of them. But this morning we're just concentrating on the reality of the work of the Spirit to lead us into deeper truth about Jesus and to consider our response to what we are learning about Jesus. Now, I want to mention a couple things about the way the Spirit works in this way to confirm that Christ is who he says he is and that we are his children. What we're really talking about is experiencing the presence of God within us, confirming spiritual realities to us in the midst of our life. That is, that God comes and suddenly in the midst of a day, we realize something. And we say, God is working. And God is leading me into a deeper life in Christ. And I want to remind you a couple things that will hopefully give you a renewed sense of peace about how God works in us in this way. I want you to know that when the Holy Spirit does this in us, this growth process of becoming more aware of Jesus in our life is not a linear, formulaic process. It is dynamic. It is constant, but not absolutely predictable. Many of us here in this room would describe ourselves as type A, organized, efficient, energetic, ambitious, accomplished, regimented, disciplined, and linear thinkers. And those of us in Christian leadership have tended to create schemes for Christian development along these lines. And I want you just to know that the Holy Spirit is not an engineer. I mean, there are dimensions of the Spirit's work that are absolutely logical, in some ways progressive, but I like to think of the Holy Spirit also as artist, as creative, as diverse. And I want to just remind you that the process of growing spiritually into the knowledge of Christ is not a linear 12-step process that you follow these things and bingo, you're there. It's much more dynamic. And the work of the Spirit is in our life not leading us on a straight line so much as leading us in a meandering of life and experiences of ups and downs, going through the experiences of what we've called in other times the laws of undulation, where life goes up and down and sideways and upside down sometimes, and we assure ourselves that even there the Holy Spirit is working in us. And in the midst of those life experiences, he is taking the truth about Jesus and mixing it with our experience to lead us into a deeper life of Christ. And in all of those circumstances, whether you feel like you're on this beautiful trajectory of spiritual growth or whether you feel like you're down in the pits and you don't know what way is up, it's the ministry of the Spirit in your life to assure you Christ is who he says he is. You belong to him. And what he asks of you is obedience to what you know right where you are. I think that's helpful to know that the Spirit sometimes does not work in absolutely predictable ways. There are some things that are predictable. It is predictable and absolutely constant that God, Holy Spirit, will work in concert with his word and with his truth, especially with the Bible as he has revealed it. But his workings are not always clearly known to us. Why do we have an impression at this moment that we should do this or that? Why do we have an impulse that we should go here? An insight into this situation, a clear application of God's wisdom in this situation. Why did that person just give me a word of encouragement at this moment when God knew I needed that? I see the Spirit of God working in all of that. Why did he provide a way of escape for my temptation? The work of the Spirit is to take the truth of God and apply it to my life in every situation. And what is required of me is that in that moment, I be watching for what he's doing, that I be aware of what he's doing, and I respond in obedience to what I think God's truth is in that moment. And as I walk in obedience, what happens? The light becomes brighter. The truth becomes greater. It is applied to life. I thought a lot about this because just one more moment on the tendency we have to create these formulas to a deeper life in Christ. You know that I'm all for learning as much knowledge as you can in the Word of God. But in the last year, I have been cautioning you, and I remind you again that you can know a lot of this But if you do not apply what you know, it's not that helpful. It is about a life of obedience and knowledge and living up to what we learn to the best of our ability. For example, consider these questions. Before the Gutenberg Press produced the Bible to be read broadly by the greater community of people in the world, what did followers of Jesus rely upon to live a life of Godward obedience? They didn't have a Bible like you do. They depended upon oral tradition, the communication of teachers who had copies of Bibles, but the Bible wasn't broadly held by people in the audience, people in the congregation. How in the world did they live according to the truth of God? I say to you, it was the Spirit of God taking what little knowledge they might have heard from teachers or from orally transmitted situations, and then the Spirit of God working in them. Lest we make too much about the importance of what if I'm not a great reader? What if I'm dyslexic? What if I struggle to read? What happens then? Can I live a life for God if I'm not a good reader? What's the answer? Please say yes. You know, it must be yes that I can, which is not to say I shouldn't keep trying to read, but that greater than my inability is the power of God in me and the Spirit who lives in me to confirm that Jesus is who He says He is and that I belong to Him and that He teaches me truth. Or illiterate people, are they able to live a life of obedience to God? Yeah, by the power of the Spirit of God teaching them truth. I do not undervalue knowing as much as you can. Just caution you that the work of the Spirit is to take the truth of God and apply it to our life in all situations. Now, we need to be sensitive to the way in which the Spirit works among us. And there are several things that work against the Spirit's ministry in our life to lead us into the truth. You know what they are? Our relentless desire to rationally explain everything. To get God in his box and to figure out the reason this didn't happen is because X, Y, Z. Or the reason this will happen is because we have this program or this strategy or whatever. And what if the Spirit of God was going to come to a place or to your life or to your situation and do something that was absolutely beyond human explanation? We want to figure it all out. And I want to just say, I'm not asking you to put your mind down. Just open your mind to the possibility that God may work in a way that you hadn't thought about before. I love those experiences where suddenly God comes and shows up. I've told you the time that I was at my counter ready to call Boulder, Colorado to say this is not the will of God for my life to come be on staff at Calvary Bible Church. And at 10 minutes before I was going to make a call, someone from this church called and said, we think you're the right person for this church. And I remember sitting there thinking, how did I miss the will of God? I'm about to say no coming to Colorado, and someone's calling me 5 minutes, 10 minutes before I'm about to make that call. And I hung up the phone and said to myself, okay, if you're at work in this, I won't not go yet. Now, I will stay put and see what you have. Okay, that was way outside my plan. It's the way God works sometimes. And a life in the Spirit sometimes goes around the ordinary explanation of things. You need to be open to that. I've already mentioned our impulse to formalize the way God works. Oh, this is not the way God would work. Oh, God would not do this. Oh, God, you know, try not to formalize that this is the way God always does things. There's another thing that mitigates against the work of the Spirit in our lives here in the United States of America, and particularly in beautiful Boulder, and it is the busy pace that you keep, and I too. It's difficult to cultivate a life in the Spirit where we're sensitive to Him leading us into the truth of God when we're going so fast. And sometimes things happen to slow us down. I have a new appreciation for that, and I think we'll call those things, you know, they're speeding tickets. They're the tickets that God gives us to slow you down. I was in Connecticut this past week visiting family, and I had a flight out of New York City at 9:30 in the morning, so we left our house in Connecticut, my parents' home, early in the morning, and I was traveling quickly to New York City with the flow of traffic, I mind you, and out of nowhere, one of Connecticut's finest jumped in behind me with flashing lights and told me I was exceeding the speed limit. Gave me a piece of paper. And now I'm going to support Connecticut's budget. All right? I was going too fast. And I didn't speed the rest of the way to the airport. Life sometimes, for us, goes so fast. Every once in a while, you get a little warning. Something happens, and it's designed to just say, slow down. Part of that is because you cannot cultivate a life in the Spirit going so fast. The ministry of the Spirit of God in us is to lead us into a deeper life in Christ that we would know He is who He says He is. His words are true, and I belong to Him. And therefore, the mission of my life is to live for Him in every area of my life. And I want to encourage you to cultivate an awareness of God's Spirit around you, in you, leading you into this truth. Let me close in this way. If you are struggling with a habitual sin in your life that you have difficulty overcoming, I want to encourage you, you need to work at dealing with that sin before you expect to be led into a deeper life in Christ. If it means you must get help, if it means you must disclose it to someone, you've got to deal with that, because that may be the very thing that's keeping you from a life that's deeper in the delights and wisdom of a Christ-centered life. If you harbor an unforgiving spirit within you, you are out of fellowship with God. If you cannot forgive someone who has sinned against you, you are out of fellowship with God, and you should not anticipate moving into greater depths of spiritual life until you deal with that. If you are loose with your tongue and you talk about people and you gossip about them and you are critical and biting and a grumbler and you run people down with your words, you should not expect to go into a deeper relationship with God until you deal with that, because you know better. Here's the principle. Obedience to what I know leads to a deeper life in Him. And it's the work of the Spirit to lead us into this life, to show us this life, because if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will come and disclose myself to you. I will do it through the teaching ministry of the permanent presence of my Spirit within you, who delights to lead you into the truth about myself. That is what I want. Let's pray together. Father, I pray today that you will lead us into truth about yourself, and that this truth will take us to a new place in our spiritual journey, and that it will be truly said of us that the Spirit of God is at work in our lives, helping us, confirming in our souls the words, the reality of Jesus. And that our lives are being transformed as we know more of Christ and as we obey it and follow it. And I pray that the Spirit of God will be as if a breath of God breathed on us, leading us away from disobedience into obedience to Christ. And we ask, O God, that a life in the Spirit will be our experience. Even now, all around this auditorium, there is a variety of responses that needs to happen to you. And we simply ask your Spirit to confirm in our soul what we must do to respond to you, either by confession or by surrender or by rejoicing in who you are. And our hearts respond to you in this way. Spirit of God, we want you to rule, to guide, to lead us into a deeper life in Christ. We pray in His name. Amen.